Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort. And pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando's stroller rentals. And a Disney-featured stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, Kevin Bentley is returning. And, you know, usually when we've got Kevin around, it's a cruise trip report. But this time, he's got a Walt Disney World special for us. Welcome back to the show, Kevin. Glad to have you here talking DVC stays at the Polynesian and Bay Lake Tower.
It's good to be back, Aaron. I always love talking Disney. I can do that anytime.
So this was a trip this past summer, and this was kind of a personal celebrations trip, right? I mean, your birthday and also a different kind of anniversary.
Right. I know a lot of people celebrate different things, but this right almost to the day, it was the 41st anniversary of my first trip to Disney. Since that time, I've gone quite a few times, but always managed to hit each of the Orlando parks within the first year of their opening. Obviously, the 45 years was for Magic Kingdom, but then I also managed to catch the first year of opening for Epcot and Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. Only then it was MGM Hollywood Studios.
Sure.
But yeah, so, I mean, a lot of fun memories over the years. And this one was kind of more of a laid-back trip, not a whole lot of planning, and running all over and trying to get a whole bunch of things in. So it was just a little more relaxed. We did what we could, went where we wanted to, and not really worried too much about anything. No really big dining reservations. Kindly, mostly quick service this time around, even as far as the meals went.
Okay. Now, you had nice digs. You decided to check out the DVC rooms at the Polynesian for the first time. Talk a little bit about those rooms. These are, I'm assuming you didn't splurge on a bungalow.
No, we didn't. We could see it from our balcony, though, but we didn't splurge on them. No, we did a studio. There's just the three of us, my 16-year-old daughter and the wife and I. So the studio fit us just fine. Lots of space. I was impressed with the space and the storage and loved the bathrooms. They were split bath. In fact, we were just looking at the pictures the other day. My wife was saying, there was a sink in both? Yeah, there's a sink in both sets of it. One bathroom had the toilet, a tub shower combo, and a sink, just like a regular bathroom. And then the other one had a real nice walk-in shower and sink as well. So,
oh wow! So it is almost a bathroom and a half. I mean, you could actually have two people getting ready at the same time.
That worked really well.
Wow, that's really nice. I mean, it borders on, it's like it inches up to a second bathroom, but not quite.
Yes. I mean, you had talked about the beginning about usually being a cruise report that very similar to Disney's split bathrooms in their staterooms.
Yeah. Except what strikes me is having a tub on one side and a shower on the other. I mean, that to me is a huge bonus.
Yeah, it was very nice. And it wasn't like little, I mean, they were actually quite spacious. I mean, the tub shower combo, toilet and sink was actually quite a huge space.
Yeah, and that's only one half of it.
Yeah, that was only one half of it. But yeah, no, it was nice. And like I said, we always enjoy the being able to move around and check out the different resorts. And we had never did Poly and had decided, well, let's check it out. Let's see where we're at. And we kind of choose our resorts by what parks we're going to focus on.
Okay.
due to transportation and stuff. So we stayed there most of the time because it's just a quick ferry ride over to Magic Kingdom and back.
Right, right. Now, so let me ask you really a little bit, more about the room itself, because these are studios and they're very large for studio rooms, but because it's a studio, what that means is it's only got one bed in it. Now, that means your daughter, I presumably slept on the pullout sofa. I mean, it's a pullout sofa or the kind of fold down, armoire fold down bed. She's 16. Right. I'm guessing she's a little tall for an armoire fold down.
She has slept in those before, but this time she chose to use the pullout couch, which was fine.
Okay.
So that worked well.
Well, and that was my question. I always get questions from people about the comfort level of those fold out beds, because everybody has those awful memories of the fold out sofa in their aunt's house that they had to sleep in when they visited family, in the 70s.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Talk about it. Is it, compare maybe, this to what that would have been like.
Yeah. I mean, maybe because, the villas haven't been there all that long. They weren't super worn out. It actually wasn't too bad.
Okay, good. I mean, well, I think that
she didn't complain at all. So,
yeah, I mean, most of the feedback I've gotten so far on any really of the more recent, more recently updated resorts that have gotten these fold out beds, really everything since sort of, it seemed to me that the turning point was kind of the last Animal Kingdom villas update, right? Mm-hmm. Like those were the last ones of the old style, and maybe the Animal Kingdom villas update into Bay Lake, they moved to some new designs. And generally speaking, people have been pretty happy.
Yeah, and I can see why. I know a lot of people complain about the horns, but it didn't seem that bad.
Oh, that's a good point. I'm glad you mentioned that. You were fairly close to that side of things because you said we were looking out over the bungalows.
Yeah, looking out of the bungalows out on the lake. So we had good views of the fireworks at night, had good views of the water parade. So that was kind of nice.
And and it's good to hear that you had good views of those things, because I know some people were concerned, with the bungalows being built, that those sight lines would be, obscured completely. And obviously, presumably you were on the third floor?
Yes, we were.
Okay. So at least from the upper floors, out on a balcony, they weren't in the way at all.
No, they weren't. So, and we got good views of all of that. So in fact, I got some nice pictures too while I was there.
Great. Well, we'll look forward to maybe sharing a few of those.
Yeah, I'll get some together here for you. Not a problem.
Great. All right. So we talked a little bit about the Polynesian. You were there, you said, primarily, for the Magic Kingdom. So talk about some of those Magic Kingdom highlights on this particular trip.
Well, on this particular trip, we kind of just, rather than doing it in the past, we've just gone through and trying to blow through everything, hit everything we want, do early in the morning and stay all day and come home late at night. This time we kind of took almost a day at a time in each section, each land.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Rather than trying to rush through it all. And it actually was nice and relaxing because we weren't pushing through. We had a couple of weeks, so we weren't too worried. And honestly, we had annual passes, so we know we're going back this next summer anyway. So it wasn't like, well, if we, we had to do, I mean, we did what we did and we'd catch next year what we didn't get this year, if that ended up happening. So, which actually kind of took a lot of stress out of it.
Yeah, I bet.
But, so we had pretty good plans. We'd go in early in the morning and usually hit the busy rides first thing and get through those, and then use some fast passes in the afternoon. And really only had to use two or three fast passes. I mean, Magic Kingdom, for being the end of July, beginning of August, which is usually pretty busy, it wasn't that bad.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of times, if you kind of take the pressure off of yourself about having to do a lot of stuff, packed together in a day, once you're not stressed about that, I think the crowd, like the same amount of crowd, feels less stressful, feels less like a crowd, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Totally.
So that sounds great. So you kind of really, instead of trying to devote, you know, a park a day, you were really more in a land a day mindset, it sounds like.
Pretty much at Magic Kingdom anyway. That's the sure. kind of way we did it. And we, like I said, we didn't do for breakfast. We had, I think, one reservation the whole time. That was our first day there because we take the red eye from Seattle down. So we leave at night and we get there about 6 o'clock in the morning. So we made sure we had a good breakfast reservation in.
Sure.
But other than that, we mostly quick serviced, and it was so hot, and my wife and I, because it was so hot, weren't really eating a whole lot because where we've been living the last 20 years, hot for us is about 70, 75 degrees. So you can imagine the difference.
Right.
There.
Once you adjust to Seattle weather.
So we did a lot of just splitting some of the quick service meals, and plenty of food, never any issues.
So what were some of
And that worked out well for us.
I'm curious.
So much a money saving.
Yeah. Well, look, before we get too into the weeds on money saving and all that, I really am interested to hear, because, you know, we did this whole quick service tournament, right? Just this last summer, but I almost feel like we haven't, dived in maybe the way that I would like to, about the quick service options, particularly in the Magic Kingdom, because some of those burned through pretty quickly in the tournament, and we talk about them once and then they were gone.
Right.
What were some of the quick service experiences in the Magic Kingdom in particular that stood out to you, either being particularly good experiences or ones where it made you question why you made that choice?
Well, I think Cosmic Rays, because you don't hear people talking about that a whole lot.
Uh-huh.
But they actually have a half chicken platter, dinner, order, whatever, where half a chicken. Well, the wife and I split that and split the sides came with it because it was so much that it was more than enough food for the two of us to just split. And it was very good.
Yeah, that sounds great.
That was one of them. And another time we went into, we actually did get into Be Our Guest for lunch. And we ended up each of us ordering a soup and then splitting the entree there as well. And that was another one that it worked out well. That was a good break because I had somehow twisted my ankle up. So they let us sit for a little bit and I put my foot up and they got me some ice in a Ziploc bag. So that's another story.
Right, right. But still good to hear.
Yeah. So those are two that really stick out. Pinocchio House is another one. They're Caprese flatbread was phenomenal in my mind anyway. I mean, it was really good. And
now, that's good to hear.
Do that again.
Because I've had that and my experience with it was basically that it was inconsistent. And I thought it was a great idea, but that they didn't always execute well. So if you enjoyed it that much, it suggests
this,
that they...
This trip, they executed well.
Did a better job, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So you were starting to say that you know, going the quick service route was a good, money-saving strategy too.
But, you know, it wasn't so much about saving the money, but it was just when it's that hot, we don't eat that much. And it didn't make sense to spend that money and then have all that food left over. We just kind of went light and ate when we got hungry and really worked out well for us on this trip.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I mean, we've gone at other times of the year. We've been in there in September, October, December, January, you know, when it's colder. And obviously then we do eat a little bit more.
Sure. You're in the mood for something a little more hearty.
Yeah. And then one of the other things we did was we'd hit the parks hard in the morning and come back in the afternoon, just relax by the pool and stuff and rest for a little bit, then go back in the evening, you know, kind of sit in the pool and rest during the heat of the day.
Yeah.
And that seemed to work really well for us Northwesterners not used to all that hot sun.
I recommend that a lot. I think that it's a cure for a lot of ills is taking that midday break. You know, my own experience is that the child meltdowns are probably a good, 60-70% less frequent if you enforce that middle of the day break, even when people say, I'm not tired, I don't want to go back, whatever. It's worth it in the long run. It pays off at the end of the day.
Yeah. Even the adult meltdowns are better when you take that midday break.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes the adults are worse than the kids. I mean, the adults,
it can be.
It's a different kind of crankiness, but, you know, look, hot and tired adults get that hair trigger anger thing mm-hmm. going, and they're a bigger problem than the kid.
One dinner that we did do a sit down is we did do the trip to Ohana's.
Very nice. So,
and we met Valdez's dad there while we were there. So Dan Hall and his family were there at the same time. But we had never did Ohana's, and I can't believe I have never been there in all the trips we've made to Disney.
So 45 years worth of trips to Disney.
Disney, and this was the first time in Ohana's. I know, but at least I saved my man card.
Just barely.
I even took pictures of the shrimp wall to prove it.
There you go. So first time, what was your impression of the Ohana experience?
I loved it. I mean, the food was great. My wife and I both agree, though, next time we go back, we're going to skip the chicken and beef and just get the shrimp.
The shrimp is my favorite, too.
Yeah, but loved the pot stickers and loved the noodles. It was all good. So, and that happened to be a day where it wasn't quite so hot, and we were actually hungry for that one. So,
good serendipitous timing there.
Yes, it was. So that worked out well.
So I'm curious, you know, taking the Magic Kingdom in smaller chunks like that and a little more mm-hmm. slowly, I'm curious whether, I mean, you've been there many times over a long period of time, but were there things that you noticed in a different way by approaching them so differently on this trip?
Yeah, I think so. There were just, and nothing really specific. It's just that there was lots of little things that caught my eye that normally you're just so busy walking from point A to point B that you don't see them or don't really notice them. And things like that were just, you know, the little vignettes that Disney will do at certain spots, that kind of thing. That was something, you know, in a lot of the shops that we'd never really gone in before. We would just wander through, take our time and hover in the air conditioning as we were cutting through. But, you know, so, yeah, I mean, we saw, you know, at least to me, a lot of things that, and there's changes. I mean, yeah, it's been 45 years, but it's not the same park.
No.
You know, Disney's constantly changing, revamping, expanding here and redoing there and updating here and changing rides and all of that. So even though I've been there a lot, it's never the same experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does make a lot of sense. And I would agree. And, you know, I tell people all the time that I know that it gets, you sort of get amped up, right? Because a lot of people, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't get to go every year. Mm-hmm. They don't get to go several times a year. And so there's that feeling that they need to catch it all. And what I try to get people to understand is, number one, there's no way you're going to see it all.
No, there's no
way. Too much there. Number two, it's always going to be changing. So even if you did see it all, you'd still want to come back to see the things that changed. And then third, you know, again, just as we've been talking about, if you slow down and just focus on the things that are really important to you, you can experience these things that you would blow past otherwise if you didn't slow down a bit. So,
you know, we kind of hit each park that way. We didn't plan to do any park, you know, just get it all done in one day. We just kind of took each park sections at a time and just went with it and just had a relaxing time. When we hit Hollywood Studios, you know, quite a bit of the park is closed down at this point. We managed to catch the Great Movie Ride one last time. So that was a lot of fun. We went through it twice, went through both sides of it. But one of the experiences we had, which was really fun, was, we were doing Toy Story Mania, and we had set up some fast passes, and we had did the took the tour of Copper Creek. And so because we did that, and at that time we had bought into it, we got a bunch of extra fast passes. So we were going – that's one of our favorite rides. So we were just going through there a couple of times, and you know the staff started seeing us going through. Well, one time we went through there, Sabrina Carpenter was going through. And my daughter goes, "That's Sabrina Carpenter," and nobody knew what was going on, or the people were complaining because, you know, she had her whole entourage, and they were really great people, but they kind of slowed the ride up a little bit for them, and so they were kind of complaining. But, you know, we just stayed back, had some chatting with the cast members and stuff, and just enjoying ourselves and getting some photos and stuff. And then we got off the ride, and one of the cast members handed us a whole bunch more fast passes that now we had to use up.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and just for being calm and just talking and, you know, not complaining and not rushing. And so that was kind of unique. One of those pixie dust things that you hear about from time to time. But, you know, it just goes to show, you know, slow down, relax, and good things can come.
Yeah.
So no, I think we rode that ride about 4 or 5 times and then hit a couple other ones. But yeah, so, I mean, and that's just kind of an example of, you know, not worrying about trying to get a whole bunch of stuff in and just taking the time.
Sure. Sure.
Oh,
So as long as we're on Hollywood Studios, you've talked about a lot of Hollywood Studios. What we haven't talked about in the studios yet, as long as we're talking quick service dining, anything, you know, of your quick service experience, Hollywood Studios has always, for me, been one of the toughest parks when it comes to quick service. I have a hard time finding something I'm happy with. So
it was for us too. And I mean, in the past we've done the sci-fi, and we didn't want to do that again this time. And we actually ended up eating at the ABC commissary, and we've never ate there before. And that came out, that was really good. I mean, it was a little busy. We went in, we got a little separated, but we got a table and got our food. But good food and not, I mean, you know, it was busy, but it wasn't a crushing madhouse. So that was one that I remember really well on that one.
Yeah, you know, like no, that's good to hear, because they've been a little uneven. And I will say, generally speaking, you know, their track record is that they've got the best air conditioning of any of the quick service in Hollywood Studios. So,
yeah, when we kind of picked our meals around the air conditioning too.
I mean, because I got to say, I usually prefer the food at now I'm drawing a blank. You know the one I'm talking about, the one over more.
Yeah.
Over by Indiana Jones and Star Wars.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about there.
Why am I drawing a blank? Back.
So am I now. Backlot Express?
Backlot Express. That's it. Backlot.
Yes, that's it.
I kept thinking backstage. I couldn't get backstage out of my head.
Backlot Express. There we go.
So I usually prefer the food at Backlot Express, but there's something about the way that restaurant is set up, and it never seems to get cool like ABC commissary does,
because it's so open. I think
that might be it, and it's got that big kind of glass side of it almost entirely, so you're kind of in a terrarium.
Mm-hmm. So my daughter hadn't been there probably about 5-6 years. I think last time she was there was like 11. Look, we really did hit the parks hard. So she was 15 going on 16, so she wanted to do all the roller coasters in all the parks. Mom and I aren't big roller coaster fans anymore. We're kind of getting up there. So we let her do that. So she got to do Tower of Terror. She said she doesn't want to do that again. Glad we were at Hollywood Studios. She did the Rock and Roller Coaster. And that's where we saw Sabrina Carpenter a second time. But yeah, so she was kind of following around at that point. Not intentionally. It just happened to be the way it went. So she did those there. And she did Space Mountain and we did Seven Dwarfs, Runaway Mine, and all of those at Magic Kingdom.
Right.
And then over at Animal Kingdom, she did Everest. So she's gotten to be quite the coaster person, but so she managed quite a few of those in, and that was fun.
Yeah, that sounds great. So let's transition then, as we talked, you know, quite a bit about studios. Let's talk about Animal Kingdom, because that's a park that, you know, had probably changed as much or more than any other park since the last time you visited.
Oh, it was like a totally different park this time. I'll be totally honest with you. I always remember it as being a small, hot, dusty park because I was there, you know, first year it opened, and there wasn't, you know, a whole lot there. In fact, we used to, at that point, jokingly call it a half-day park.
Right,
well, it's
right.
Definitely not a half-day park anymore.
Oh, no. No way.
No. So especially with the new Avatar land that opened up, was really nice. I mean, we did get lucky and got to go on the Rivers of Light, and we actually did Flight of Passage a couple of different days.
Okay, wait, let's back up. You did not Rivers of Light is the show. It's the Navi River Journey.
Yeah, the Navi River Journey. Sorry. Yeah, we did that. And then we did Flight of Passage a couple of different days.
Okay.
Because I'm disabled, I have their disabled access pass thing where you go get the time and come back.
Right.
Which worked really great for that one, because we would go up, get the time of when we were supposed to get back. Then we go off and do something else and then come back and then get right in without having to have the extreme long waits that was going on at that time.
Sure, sure.
So that worked really well. Next, I suppose you're going to ask me about restaurants there.
let's talk a little bit more about attractions, because I have a couple of questions. First of all, I'd love to hear your thoughts on Flight of Passage. I've been collecting, initial responses, because it's obviously the newest attraction at Walt Disney World. So, what's your impression? And, I know a lot of people, for example, a lot of people were concerned about accessibility for the attraction, because it does have an unusual ride vehicle that's got a little bit different, restraint system and even ride system.
And now I'll be honest, I was concerned about that one myself, because I'm not exactly a skinny guy. And I had hit lots of things, but I fit without any problem. Originally, I was thinking it was kind of like Soarin' on steroids, but the more I think about it, it's a more of a cross between Star Tours and Soaring.
Okay, that's a good way to put it.
We rode it in a couple of different, we had two different spots when we rode it, so it wasn't the exact same location each time. And a little different, but it was so cool. You could feel the beast breathing at times, and I heard somebody said their little kids didn't like all the vibrating, but, that was the beast breathing, and you could feel it against your legs.
Right, right.
And the second time was even more fun, because we had an idea of when it was going to swoop and dive and all of that. So it wasn't quite so sudden, and we were able to almost enjoy it a little bit more, I think, because we had rode it once before. But I was thoroughly impressed with it. As a ride, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it may be a little bit ironic that the reason that some, kids especially maybe are having a harder time with it is precisely because of what it does so well. They're not used to their ride vehicle, the vehicle itself kind of being part of the attraction.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually when that's the case, it's more passive and you're watching a movie or something and you get that 4D breaking the fourth wall thing. And there just aren't very many attractions that do that in particular well.
Right. No, there's not. I mean, in all honesty, Star Tours has always been probably my most favorite ride. But that just got eclipsed by this one. So,
so you have a new favorite.
Yes, I do.
And then, clearly.
And I do have some lower back neck issues and leg issues, and they didn't seem to have problems on this ride.
That's good to hear.
While it looks like it's a very rough, very thrill-seeking type ride, it's not all that hard on your body versus a roller coaster or something like that, which is nice.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So clearly Flight of Passage is sort of the epic attraction of the world of Avatar.
Right.
What did you think, though, of Navi River Journey?
I loved it. We didn't have any issues, with how it was working. We went through, we had finally seen the movie for the first time before we went, just so that we kind of had a feeling of what was going on.
Sure.
But I thought they did a really good job with it. It's a nice ride. It's a nice sit down, in the heat of the day, it's a cooler ride. So that's in that respect, it's really good, but they just did. It just was another one of those nice Disney calm, immersive rides where you get to see a lot of the flora and fauna.
Sure.
And even some of the locals on the ride. So in that respect, it was very nicely done. I know most people, you know, it obviously is no flight of passage. It's not a thrill ride or anything like that. But I thought it was a very nice ride.
Yeah, no, I think that that maybe is the problem, is that it is a very nice ride, but because it is contrasted with, you know, this epic ride across the way.
Exactly.
You know, it comes off as being this, you know, I think it attracts more complaints than are merited, maybe.
Yeah. And I think maybe if we had did Flight of Passage first, then went and did it, it may have been different. But we did Navi River Journey first, and then went over and did Flight of Passage. So we didn't have all the excitement of the one ride, and then just the slowdown of the other. We did it the other way around, and maybe that's why we had a little different impression of it.
So. The other big new attraction is the Rivers of Light show that, you know, finally opened almost a year behind schedule.
Right.
You got a chance to check out Rivers of Light? And first of all, had you seen Rivers of Light before?
No, I've never seen it before.
So you hadn't seen it before. Did you get a chance to watch, you know, this trip?
Yes, we did. I enjoyed it. I didn't get any photos of it, unfortunately, but I thought it was very well done. I thought it was good. I know they had some technical issues with it, but the night we saw it, it went pretty smooth.
Now, did you have any, well, I guess the question is, where did you watch it from? Did you watch it from one of the standby areas, or did you use one of the ways to get reserved seating?
We did a fast pass.
Okay. So you did have reserved seating through the fast pass.
Yes.
And right. Did you feel like, you know, once you were there that you got good value out of the fast pass for the seating you had?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. Like it was, like I said, it was very crowded, so we were able to, you know, skip some of that crowd, which is good. You know, we try to do either the fast passes with shows like that, or the dinner show kind of combination thing, like we did with several years ago with
Fantasmic.
Not Fantasmic, but the Candlelight.
Oh yeah, Candlelight Processional. Okay.
At Christmas time.
Right.
Yeah, the Candlelight Processional. Yeah. Fantasmic, I've seen it at Disneyland, and I've never seen it at Disney World. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't think I want to. To me, it would be so, because, you know, at Hollywood Studios, they've got this whole little area they built for it. Where at Disneyland, it encompasses all of it. You've got the Liberty Bell in there. You've got the sailing ship in it. You've got all of that in there that's there all the time. And just it's all put together in one giant show. And I've seen it a couple of times at Disneyland. And it's just that's why I think I'd be totally disappointed if I saw it at Disney World.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to go in understanding it's a different show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it does have the advantage of not, you know, blocking off almost a major thoroughfare of the park, but I think you'd be hard pressed to find somebody who's seen both shows who would say that Walt Disney World has taken the best advantage of having a dedicated theater for the show.
Yeah. And I know at some point, like I said, I know I probably will see it, but,
Well, so back to Rivers of Light, you had the reserved seating.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about the show, because it's a very different kind of nighttime show, and I'm always curious, you know, to hear those first reactions, because, like I said, it's not like any other nighttime show.
No, and I think my first reaction was wow, Disney magic again, the combination of the lights and the floats on the water and everything they just put together, flow. Was really something. I think what really has impressed me is that no longer can you consider Animal Kingdom a sub park, so to speak.
Right.
You know, it's grown up. It's own big, full, one-day, multi-day park, all day long kind of thing. And even temperature-wise, even because it's had time now for everything to grow, it's not as hot as it used to be the first time I went. Like I said, the first time I went, it was in the first year. Everything was new. The plants hadn't grown real tall. There wasn't a whole lot of shade. But now it's matured.
That's an interesting take.
it's a grown up park now, you know, it's grown up, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree that it has grown up and it's become a very different park that, you know, you can't do like you used to, which is to try and squeeze, you know, everything that you might want to do in the park into half a day. It's not going to happen.
No, it won't happen.
and really, you know, if getting to ride Flight of Passage and Navi River Journey, you know, via Fast Pass is important to you, it's probably a 2-day park.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So a lot of good attraction experiences at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I've always been really fond of the food at Disney's Animal Kingdom. What did you do there food-wise?
We did the Santulu Canteen.
Yep.
One time. Obviously, kind of, because it was new and was quite impressed with it. Food was good. Service was good. Different.
Yep.
You know, not so much that the food itself was totally different than what food you'd ever eat, but the way they had presented it and put things together and that kind of thing made it unique, you know, trying to be an example of, you know, the native food there. So in that respect, yeah, it came out, you know, that was really good. And then the other one we did was Yak and Yeti.
Yeah.
Before I went down, I joined the Landry's Club.
Ah, smart, planning ahead.
So I not only had the $25 for joining, I had the $25 for my birthday, because my birthday down there.
All right.
But it was great because, you know, they had about a 45-minute wait or so. I just went in, showed my card, and we went right in, got in 5 minutes, sat down. I had never ate there either place before. Obviously, the one I hadn't been there before, but Yak and Yeti, I've never ate. It had read a lot of things on it. So,
and what did you think of it?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. The food was good. We had the tuna nachos, which were really good.
Okay. Okay.
And I know a lot of people rave on those.
Yeah.
So the entrees we had were good. I think was one of the funny things was. We had ordered what we thought were virgin drinks. Come to find out they weren't.
Oh.
But they were good anyway.
Did you figure that out before or after you stood up?
Well, no, before we stood up, it's like I got down towards the bottom of the drink, you know, and it's like, hey, this is alcohol.
That's got some kick.
Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, those are two experiences there that I know we'll be doing again.
Sure.
That were really good.
Right.
And kind of a unique thing that now that Animal Kingdom kind of brings us up is my daughter's a percussionist in band. So her souvenirs this year were drumsticks. She got a couple different sets at Animal Kingdom. She got a couple of sets at Rock and Roller Coaster. She ended up getting a couple sets at Epcot. Well, she's got like the coolest drumsticks in the band now.
Sure. Hey, and look, you're playing in a band like that, you're going to go through them. So you need a backlog.
We had no problem. I mean, in all honesty, they weren't any more expensive than what you would pay for drumsticks in a music store. So
there you go. And hers are much cooler.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Well, so far, the only park we haven't talked about is Epcot, and I can't imagine that you spent, you know, as much time as you spent at Walt Disney World and didn't visit Epcot. So talk a little bit about, you know, your experiences in Epcot on this trip.
World Showcase is still one of my favorite places. I'm sorry, but it is. And I've been there a lot. but we actually did some different things because, like I said, my daughter's getting into the roller coaster and stuff. So we did the test track. Never done that before and actually was running. So she got to do that.
Okay.
And we did always do the Living with the Land. For some reason, we liked that show, the tour. So we did that one. And then Spaceship Earth. So we actually did more in the front section of the park than we've done in times past. So that was a little different. And we didn't even make it to every one of the countries because, like I said, we were just kind of taking our time.
Sure. So were there any things that stood out in your kind of more relaxed tour of World Showcase that maybe you hadn't, you know, stopped to enjoy in the past? Or at least not in a long time.
Yeah. We enjoyed more of the fountains and some of the more unique character experiences. Uh-huh. Some of them I know that are going away, and there's changes happening along there too. But it just some that not necessarily that we would normally do, but right. we did there. Mary Poppins was one of them. So, but yeah, those kind of things. And they have sometimes the little street things, like the little artists and stuff that right, we never right. really, we're so busy going from country to country to country. You really don't nearly never take the time to kind of enjoy that.
I noticed one of those on my last trip. There were some musicians playing in the UK that, you know, just mm-hmm. on the street, not on the stage.
Right.
That were really fun. And I don't think I'd ever stopped to watch them before.
And then we actually took and went through the tea shops over in England, something we usually don't do, and found a couple of really cool things that teacups and stuff that, you know, we have missed in the past. So one thing we did discover, which is really cool, is the Disney ship home. So you can save on luggage space. And if you do it right, you're not paying any sales tax on it. So that was kind of different. So we took advantage of that there and took advantage of that over at Poly and then also at Disney Springs. But no, you know, and it can be quite relaxing if you take the time to slow down and plan it that way.
Oh, yeah.
We've Disney commandoed so much that it actually was nice just kind of sit back and relax and just take our time.
Yeah,
no, sure. which was nice. We didn't see every country this time, and that was fine.
Right.
I think we only ended up getting about halfway across, and that was fine. You know, we had no issues with that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, quality over quantity this time around.
Yes.
So now you had a split stay. So we talked a little bit about the Polynesian at the beginning. You moved mm-hmm. Partway through your trip from the Polynesian down the monorail to Bay Lake Tower.
Yes.
First of all, talk a little bit about the transition because, you know, everybody has their own way of handling that. How did you manage your transition day on the split?
We just left the one park and had them move our luggage. And when we were left the one resort and when we were done for the day, we went to the other one. Sure. So, I mean, it was pretty much that simple. We each took a backpack with us because we have cameras and stuff. But other than that, we just had them move all the luggage and anything we had on the fridge and everything, and it all moved just fine. That was no issue at all.
Great.
Oh, wait a minute. We did have one issue.
Okay.
One of our big carry-on bags ended up getting damaged.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, actually, it worked out just fine because they bought us a new piece of luggage. No big deal. No hassles.
And oh, very nice.
So we managed to add to our Disney luggage collection.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you can look at that and say, you know, how awful they mishandled your luggage and broke it. But what's more important to me is the way that they responded when there was a problem.
Oh, they handled it beautifully.
Yeah. Clearly, they just dealt with it, you know, and made it right.
Yeah. No, they did. And that wasn't a problem.
So Bay Lake Tower, compare the Bay Lake Tower room. Were you in a studio at Bay Lake as well?
Oh, no. We did a one-bedroom.
Okay.
We're finding that is more convenient.
There's a reason for that. I mean, but, we didn't go into it too much, but the studio at the Polynesian is probably almost, got to be at least a quarter and maybe a third larger than the studio at Bay Lake, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. Cost-wise, though, it's probably closer to the one-bedroom, if you put it that way.
Right.
But, no, we've been Vacation Club members since 97. So, and we've bought three or four properties now over the years. So, you know, we did it step by step. Right. And so in that respect, and I'm glad we did. And that's part of the laid back, you know, we know we're going to be back. We may not be back every year. And really this year and last year is the first time we've been back to back and probably 6-7 years. Yeah. So, but you know, but that's what makes it different and special. And for us, it worked well. And, you know, it's not for everybody, and I get that. So I never tried to push it on anybody. But for our family and our situation, even now on the West Coast, it works well. And I know in about 5 years, we'll be back east again. So
sure.
But yeah. So anyway, back to Bay Lake.
Yeah, back to Bay Lake.
We stayed in a one bedroom.
Yeah.
So in that one, we had the full kitchen, and we made use of it. We cook breakfast in the room because it's real easy to do. Bake, you know, pick up even just in the right there. Pick up milk, eggs, bacon, orange juice, you know, and so you can make up a good breakfast when you wake up.
Sure.
So we usually had our breakfast there, and then we'd be out, and sometimes we'd come back and have dinner in. One of the things we rediscovered is the Velveeta mac and cheese, where you don't even need milk and butter.
Right.
It's just the pasta, and then you've got the cheese sauce in the pack, and you know that, and throw some other stuff with it, and you've got a real nice good meal.
Yeah, in your own unit.
Right.
No cleanup.
But the space in the one bedrooms are really nice. On that one, the daughter used a sleeping chair. Did that have the sleeping chair? You know what? I may have been getting confused. No, she used the couch on that one.
Okay.
had to think a minute.
Right,
she did
right.
use the couch on that one as well. But still, they worked well. Got plenty of space for the three of us. So then, you know, we all had our own space, so that made it nice. And again, we had the theme park view, which for me is one of the favorites. In fact, on my computer right near here as I'm talking to you, I've got a beautiful shot of some fireworks over the top of Space Mountain with the castle all lit up in the other corner, kind of on my screensaver, my wallpaper.
Right.
So, and you know, that came up nice. And I don't know if you have seen, I know I posted it on the page, but I have a beautiful shot. We rushed in and we're literally running into the room to get the shot as the sun was. It was literally just orange right down behind the castle. So the sun was going down right smack awesome. That cap, right smack dab in the middle.
Yeah, no.
So I make sure I'll send that one to you when I get the pictures together here tomorrow.
That's a great view. And you know, I've seen that kind of sunset from California Grill. Right. But I've never seen one like that, you know, from Bay Lake Tower. You know, just timing was never right. You know, I was never back at the room at the right time to catch it.
And, you know, we saw it coming. So we were heading back to the room. So we rushed to make sure we got back because we were literally walking across the bridge between Contemporary and Bay Lake Towers as we saw it happening and knew we had a limited amount of time. So we rushed back to the room and got the cameras out real quick. And I was kind of, because we had the theme park view, we were there for several nights. I would sit out on the balcony a couple of times with my tripod and camera and just shoot picture after picture after picture.
Yeah.
So then I had kind of planned on doing that this trip. This was my picture fireworks trip.
I've had those.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's always fun. And, you know, when you go multiple days to the same park, you see some of the same cast members again. So then it's not quite the same as seeing your serving team all the time on the cruise, but you get to know them a little bit better. They see you, you see them, you swap stories and you spend talking while you're waiting in line for something or, you know, that kind of thing. And it's almost like they become, you know, family, so to speak.
Right.
If that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. They're familiar to you and they're part of your experience.
Exactly. It's almost like you can't go to the Grand Floridian without seeing Richard, you know? So, but yeah. And so that's kind of cool. And along the way, we ran into a few Diz Dads and missed a few Diz Dads, but we'll always get a chance again sometime, which is always fun meeting up with some of the guys.
Sure. All right. Well, let's do our kind of our overview, our wrap up pieces. I always like to wrap up with the same kind of pair of questions because I think they're useful for us all. And the first one is, and I think it's a particularly apropos question given this was your, you know, 45th anniversary trip, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of trips over 45 years. What thing about this trip that's going to be the enduring memory? Because there's always something. There's something that when you know, you flash on this memory, it's going to say summer 2017. So what's that moment from this trip for you?
You know what? And this is going to sound corny because you always hear all kinds of things about it. But I think going through It's a Small World.
Okay.
You know, strange as it sounds, it kind of, that's where it started, and that's where this trip kind of began. The first day we did that, one of the first things in the morning, we kind of did the Fantasyland first things. We did It's a Small World, Dumble Ride, all of that very first morning, and kind of puts the magic all back into it again, if that makes sense.
No, I love it. I love it. I mean, that's, and again, that's why I ask, right? Because there's always something, and sometimes it's something fairly, you know, ordinary and normal, but because of its context, that's the thing that's going to say this trip for you down the road. And then the other one is, and we've kind of in some ways been talking this whole trip report about the answer to this question, but you know, if you were to give somebody else who's considering taking a trip where they just, you know, downshift a little bit, slow down, take things a little more slowly, one piece of advice to sort of, you know, really make that work, what piece of advice would you give them?
Mid-afternoon break. Strange as it sounds, making sure you take that break in the mid-afternoon, hit the parks in the morning, hit them in the evening, take that middle time to just go back to the room, pool, relax, cool off, and recharge for the evening. That I think this is probably one of the first trips where we actually really did that, and to me it made a big difference.
That's a great piece of advice, because I think a lot of people might assume the opposite, right? They might assume that because you're slowing down, you don't really need the break, right? Because you're taking things slower. But I think that's an important insight.
You still need the break. Yeah.
Well, Kevin, thanks so much for coming on the show
and
sharing your experience with us again. We'll look forward to hearing from you about whatever's coming next.
Well, we'll be back in Disney again. And I know we're staying at the Boardwalk. I'm not sure where the other one is because we may change it. But so Boardwalk would be the first time since 97. So there'll be some probably new experiences there, some changes. And so we're looking forward to see how that has changed.
Okay. I'll look forward to hearing about it.
I'm sure I will have a full report for that one on you.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. Never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.